Edge of Silver is the sire of Silver Max, winner of 5 stakes, including graded stakes at Churchill, Keenan, and Colonial Downs. Set a new track record going a mile in 1:33.4. Badge of Silver is a sire Silver Medallion, winner of 4 stakes, among them graded stakes at Gulfstream, Calder, and at Golden Gate. Of King Kanji, a graded stakes winner at Calder, placed in 4 other stakes, including the Grade 1 Bluegrass. Of Fly Lexus Fly, multiple Grade 1 stakes winner in South America, and second in the Grade 2 Super Derby in his only start in this country. To date, Badge of Silver is sired right at 10% black type horses from starters. He can put you in the winner's circle, and he can black type your mare. Badge of Silver, a multiple graded stakes winner and a Grade 1 placed earner of over $1 million, was one of some 90 stakes winners by Silver Deputy, and he stands at Mr. and Mrs. Barrett and C. Jones Airdrie Stud, $7,500 live foal. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursula Ellis.
Good morning, and there's a muddy track here at the Thoroughbred Center out on the Paris Pike, and it's nice and dry here in the clocker stand. But it's a dreary old day, I'll tell you that. Not too many workers this day. I think Susie says we've had, it looks like, I'm looking at the list over there, maybe 22, 23. Yeah. Pretty good guess, Susie?
Yep.
All right. Right on. Well, I looked at it for a long time. I've been looking at that list for you about better part of 10 years now. They hired me in 02, in March of 02 to do the clocking. And then I retired from the clocking it on the first of this year. So
it's 11 years? Oh, 10 and a half.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
So I still come in and kind of keep my hand at it. Susie lets me come in and look over her shoulder.
She saves me.
She said you save her.
Well, not really.
It's fun.
She's doing a good job.
Gets him out of the house.
Susie.
Gets him out of the house.
Was outrider. Shut up. Susie was outrider here for years and years and years and years, and she started to ride again.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Had a hip replacement, and
she's taller.
Yeah, she's standing up taller. It didn't.
5'3½.
When
now.
I had my hip replacement, didn't make me taller, but I'd kind of admired. I'd kind of settle.
There you go.
I sank down a little, shrank a little bit. Okay. Well, let's see. Since last week's show, we have had 12 winners from the Thoroughbred Center, and the trainers of those winners are Paul Garcia and Eduardo Caramori, who is based here at the training center, took a Berlino de Tiger to Churchill Downs and won the Grade 3 Twin Towers Turf Sprint.
That was Derby Day?
On Derby Day. Indiana Downs winner, Kazoom, with Randy Preston, Jackie.
Oh, good.
That's one that he bred and raised. Paul Garcia had another one at Indiana Downs. Eduardo Caramori had a winner at Mountaineer on the same day that he won the stakes. I'm sure he was just as happy with that one as he was the other. Brian Michael won at Mountaineer. Raquel Albright went down to Mountaineer and won. Let's see. Scooter Hughes won at Indiana Downs with Albus.
Honey Lamb.
Albus is owned by Dr. I'm trying to think, who was it that owned that?
I don't know, but Scooter's wife. Oh, Dr. Bramlage.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good, Jackie.
Yeah.
Dr. Bramlage's wife, I think, owns that.
Oh, yeah. She's real nice. I'll tell you. What was I going to say? Now you made me forget.
Well, so was Larry, as far as that goes.
Yeah, right. Yes. I think he's out of the hospital now. They took a brain scan, and he's
still there.
Stable. Yeah. And nothing is, you know, so he's okay. Because in case
great.
Anybody didn't know, it fell off the back of a golf cart.
I'm sure he did more than fall.
Well, if he hit his head on cement or something, that's a doozy.
Yeah. Golly, gee whiz. Been around horses all his life and then fall off a golf cart.
Off a golf cart, see?
Yeah.
Arnold Palmer getting kicked in the head by a horse or something. That's
it must have been about the 10th hole or something after the way break.
I don't know.
I'm sorry, Doc. I should have said that. Okay. Well, anyway, Scooter won with Albus.
Oh, I know what I was going to say about Scooter. Now, this has been on Facebook. You know, his wife calls him Honey Lamb, and I'm forever teasing him about Honey Lamb. So she had a kind of an insignia that you would put on a shirt made up, and it's a circle, and it says Team Honey Lamb, and it's got a drawing of a horse on it. All this kind of stuff. So he is Team Honey Lamb.
If you don't know Scooter, he's a long way from a Honey Lamb.
Oh, he's a sweetie.
All right, who else? Sherman Mitchell won one at Indiana Downs. And let's see, then last night we had three winners. Tim Hsu won another one down at Indiana Downs. Jesse Caudle won one at Indiana Downs. And Paul Garcia won another one at Mountaineer. So far, that's 15 winners this month in the first 10 days. But actually, it was the last week that we really broke loose with 12 of those 15 winners. So things are getting back to normal as far as that goes. Let's see. I better put this over here or I'll lose it among the debris, the derbers. What are we going to do today? Sometimes we don't know. Usually we screw up what we think we're going to do. But anyway, Glennie Kane Oakford's coming in. Of course, she writes for the Daily Racing Form, known Glennie for a number of years. And she does more than write, but she's an excellent writer. She's a really good reporter. She knows what the heck's going on everywhere. And you kind of keep up with what's going on in Kentucky if you read the Daily Racing Form and Glennie's columns.
You know what else she does on Facebook?
Wait a minute.
What else she does?
Ressie's took you off the air. Thank you, Ressie.
I try.
He tries, yes. She puts up postings of lost dogs and cats around here, or dogs and cats that need homes.
Nah.
She's real into rescue, so that you might have to ask her about that.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that in just a second. She also fox hunts and show jumps and all at all. Talking about rescues, our little schnauzer finally
went to heaven.
Yeah, he finally checked out. He was either 13 or 14. We're not sure how old he was.
Yeah.
Been in diapers for the last,
I know,
5 or 6 months. Is it
at
been?
Least?
Yeah.
I bet it's been a year.
Jackie says I'm next.
No, the doctor is the one.
All right. Anyway, we went and found a Cocker Spaniel that was in an abusive home that I think down in Harrison County we got.
Yeah, in the northern part of Harrison County, they said somebody raided the place, you know, and they said it was just one of the worst they'd ever seen. Dogs and God knows what, in cages in the basement and stuff.
He's seven or eight, between 6 and 8 years old, it looked like, they said. And
yeah.
They really were nice dog. Well, so we're tickled with it so far.
Yeah, it's black and he's got a little white on his chest. He's awfully cute.
Yeah, he likes to get in the bed too. Anyway.
His name is Spaniel Boone.
So we call him Booney. Anyway, of course, Dr. Doug Byers is coming on and Michael Blowen, and they should be here. Speaking of rescues, if you heard that little yap, that was Maybell over there. That's Susie's dog. He's the assistant clocker.
Yes.
She is the assistant clocker, and she's another rescue.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cute as she
This
can
is
be.
The first dog that we really went to the dog pound to get, because usually they just wander in.
Yeah, they've all won. Well, we picked Woody up off the interstate that time.
Yeah.
Bloody and nasty looking, and,
and
had him. And then Sammy got tied to the front gate 13, 14 years ago. So.
Yeah. Anyway.
This one is as cute as he can
be. I'm sure everybody's just very interested in all this. Steve Moody, who is with my good friends over at Briss, and, of course, the Arthur Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, and he gave us the Derby winner last week. How about that? Way to go, Steve. Unbridled Sydney Stakes is the feature race down at Churchill today, so we'll see if he can give us another winner. Jackie's announcements, of course. We're going to do some history. They're running the Peter Pan today. So we can do a little something on Peter Pan himself. And they're running the Decathlon Stakes at Monmouth Park. Peter Pan, of course, is in New York. Decathlon was, boy, he was a fast racehorse. Bred by the Knuckles brothers down in Midway, Kentucky. And it was a champion sprinter. He was by Olympia out of a bulldog mare named Dog Blessed. I remember that like it was yesterday.
Dog Blessed?
Dog Blessed by Bulldog. And
yeah.
He was fast. And had a really funny way of moving.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He looked like he was, you know, throwing legs every which direction. But
yeah.
it came from an injury.
Is that right?
But and they found out early that he was a sprinter, and they kept him sprinting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and made a champion sprinter out of it. Okay, we'll talk about him a little bit. And Peter Pan. I like to talk about Peter Pan. And we've got some Joe Palmer that we might do if and we have time. So let me go to this. And Algorithms, the young graded stakes winner by Bernardini. Fact is, he's an undefeated son of Bernardini. After winning his first start as a two-year-old, that was at Belmont Park, and his second start down at Gulfstream, he met Eclipse Award winner Hansen in the Grade 3 Holy Bull Stakes, going a mile, and he beat him by 5 lengths. And that ended his career, a fact reminiscent of yet another highly promising runner that was retired to Claiborne Farm after a very promising but brief career, and that, of course, the Great Dancing. Algorithms is, in addition to being a son of Bernardini, he stands for $150,000, as you probably know, is out of the graded stakes winner, Ava Knows the Code. Dam of 6 stakes winners, 4 of them graded stakes winners. In fact, his first 4 dams were all top quality race mares and stakes producers, so it's a running family. Algorithm is standing his first season at stud for $7,500 live foal at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams over at Claiborne, and see the website at ClaiborneFarm.com.
Here are 2 names to remember in the horse business: the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Parrish. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. And the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, May 4 at Woodbine, the $150,000 Fury Stakes was won by Spring in the Air, a 3-year-old filly from the first cup by Spring at Last. Spring in the Air was voted champion 2-year-old filly in Canada in last year after she won the Grade 1 Alcibiades Stakes right here at Keeneland. Earlier, she had finished second in the Grade 2 Natalma Stakes to Spring Venture, yet another runner from the first crop by Spring at Last. Spring Venture, in addition to winning the Grade 2 Natalma, has won the Grade 3 Mazarine in the filly division of the $100,000 OBS Championship Stakes. Yet another filly from Spring at Last first crop is Shawneen Girl, winner of the Grade 2 Goldenrod Stakes at Churchill Downs, and second to Spring Venture in the Grade 3 Mazarine, and third in the $490,000 Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks. Other first crop stakes horses by Spring at Last are Lover's Question, winner of the Jamestown Stakes at Colonial Downs, Swear Me In, stakes placed at Gulfstream, and Just Gone, placed in 3 stakes in Canada. Let's sum it up. Spring at Last has a champion filly in Canada that won Grade 1 stakes at Keeneland, a Grade 2 stakes winner at Churchill Downs, a multiple graded stakes winner at Woodbine, a stakes winning colt, at Colonial Downs for a total of 4 stakes winners, 7 stakes horses in his first crop of racing age. Grade 1 stakes winner and millionaire, Spring at Last, is at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy, Deanna Packard, or Chance Tim, and see the website at windstarfarm.com. Yes, I do. I have that check, Jackie.
Are we on?
We are on the air.
Oh, okay. Michael had the old friends homecoming last Sunday, and we went. Nice crowd, although
good
it was
crowd.
Horrible. The rain was terrible. And the blacksmith band, Steve Norman. They
band.
Are wonderful. They yeah. are so good. Anyway, now he better be getting that purse out of the back of his truck. They had a silent
shall
auction.
Shall I hold a check if he doesn't come
yeah.
in?
They had a silent auction, and I got the...
I don't know if I can afford to forward him to know Michael much anymore.
I know.
I bought a halter for him from him, and
now, well, I bought this. This.
We spent about $500 that guy in the last...
You know, what you call it, purse?
Coach?
Yeah, coach purse. So give it to granddaughter.
Only coach I know is that old horse we got at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we went to the Thoroughbred Managers Club the other night, and Ken Ramsey.
And he was a hoot.
He is hilarious.
He's hilarious. And then he said he got an absolute tip for everybody. He was running a horse in the last race the next day, and it was that pick five stuff, and he guaranteed if you put his horse on the top in that pick five, you would win a gazillion dollars. The horse ran second.
I meant to pull a chart to see how far I got.
But he is. He's entertaining to listen to.
He's a big-time gambler.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, he likes to work it. And his wife wouldn't let him teach his sons to do it, so he's got his grandsons.
And they're big-time gamblers. In fact, the one kid he talked about it.
The kid's made a lot of money.
Yeah, he's bankrolled, what did he say, $35,000, $40,000?
I don't know.
That he's saving for something. I don't know what.
I don't know. For the big hit, I hope.
To me, that is a big hit.
Yeah, exactly. He was entertaining. He really was. It was fun, you know. He got a lot of questions and stuff. Will not use city water. Uses spring water on that farm out there, the old Amherst that he owns.
Yeah.
And
Henry Knight's old place down in Nicholasville.
Yeah, he's just, he was a hoot. I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun.
Talks about raising them rough.
They never come in. They're out. Well, they come in and get checked, and they're out 24/7, and it makes them tough. Hey, Michael, you got my purse.
Hey.
There's the purse.
Yay! There you are, Michael. Here's the money for that purse. I'm not sure I can afford to know you much longer. You've been hitting me pretty regular here lately.
I know. I got 2 checks in a row.
Isn't it pretty?
Just 2? I felt like more.
I think it is more, but I can remember the 2. You might have got given the others to Sylvia.
I hope they're clear.
I ever tell you that funny story? We went to Saratoga a few years ago, and
this is Michael Blowen, by the way.
And Naira was donating a check to us. We had a presentation in the winner's circle with a big check. Mm-hmm. You know, it was oversized check. So after the presentation was over, I think the check was for like $5,000. I went up to the window. And I said, I'd like to bet this on the 3. And I tried to shove the check through the mutual clerk's window. And I thought I really had him. But it's tough to fool those mutual clerks in New York. Or put one over on them.
Yeah.
And so he looked at me and he goes, well, whose check is that? I said, well, it's your employer's check. NYRA, New York Racing Association. He goes, we don't take their checks. I got another big check up at River Downs, one of those big checks.
Yeah.
Just the other day, I went up there. It's almost $7,000 they raised selling their seats and gave the money to us.
Yeah.
That was fabulous. That was a good trip to Cincinnati. Hey, plus, I got 4 chairs.
Yeah.
And it has the RD on the side, you know, it's really the end seats. So it's really, really nice.
I hate to think about that place going
down.
What's
the plan going to be on River Downs?
Wow. Well, it certainly changed. I don't know all the details, of course, but what I could see, the only thing left is the backside, the walking ring.
That's the worst part.
Well, I think they're going to fix that up,
the
too.
The tracks are okay, aren't they?
No, they took them all down.
Oh, you're a kid.
Nope.
I don't believe that.
Well, it certainly looked down to me. Maybe they're not.
Well, I mean, those were great tracks. That grass track was the best in the state, as far as I was concerned.
Mm-hmm. Everybody said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really liked it. Well, I'm just saying what I saw.
Makes me Doc, they're going to have that meeting and finally straighten it out, and they're going to hold the Riverdance meeting at Beulah this summer. That's it. Is that what you was asking him?
Well, I just confused about what the plan
is. The old grandstand, where the old grandstand was, where they took down everything, is going to be. They're building a new grandstand, and they're going to build a casino in there, and their future plans to put up a 200 or 300 room hotel overlooking the river. And the plans are nice. I mean, it really, really does look nice. It's not going to be the same. It's not going to be the country track. But you're the one who wanted slots here. What do you think happens? You get slots, you got to get people to come play the casino. You need the hotel, and you need a nice casino. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, and they don't need a horse.
And that's why I was always against slots.
That's right. They don't need a horse. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm starting to lean your way, Michael, because, it appears to me that unless you get a constitutional amendment, sooner or later the government looks at all that money and they say, oh, well, we need that. And know it's happening in West Virginia. It's happening now.
And the casino operators do, too. I mean, look at Churchill Downs' last two major purchases weren't racetracks.
Right.
There was just straight casinos.
Yeah.
But anyway, hey, on the brighter side, things are going good. We had a great homecoming. It rained like hell. It was cold. It was nasty and everything, but we got almost 200 people that came.
Yeah, that was amazing.
It was amazing. I thought the over-under was 30. And that included myself and Diane.
The band was great.
Yeah,
Steve Norman's band.
Yeah. What's the name of his band? Does he have a name for it?
Yeah, Shades of Grass.
Shades of Grass.
Yes.
Okay, I wonder where he got that.
Well, I could think about it for a second. It might come up with an answer, but I wouldn't want to presume I was correct.
Depends on what you're going to smoke.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're not going to eat it, are they?
They were a great band. And then earlier this week, Thursday night, they had a fundraiser for old friends at Country Boy Brewery. That is like Nirvana. Well, that is Mecca for beer lovers. I mean, it is unbelievable. It's on Chair Street off of South Broadway. I'm telling you. Yeah. It's sensational beer. And they donated, and you'd think Thursday night, again, if you get 30 or 40 people, that'd be great. It was mopped, hundreds of people.
Wow.
There wasn't enough room inside. Everybody's outside eating and drinking.
Now, well, as I can remember, if you're going out Broadway, South Broadway, before you get to the overpass where the train goes over, it's about two blocks this side, Chair.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really a great place, and the beers. Oh man, you can get it to go too. I'll bring you some next time. Next week, I'll bring you some.
Yeah, here he is sitting about talking about it. Yeah. We're sitting here dry.
I know. I know. It reminds me. We had the great event with Woodford Reserve with the Turf Classic, and they did the Julep Cups.
Mm-hmm.
Donate money to us. Well, the night before we had Ferdinand's Ball, so I was there till midnight. And I was supposed to be at Churchill Downs backside to go around with Chris Morris, the master distiller, for these interviews about the Julep Cups and old friends. So I said, wow, it's midnight. I got to be back in Churchill Downs at 6 o'clock. So I called my friend Dan Rima earlier in the day, and I said, can I stay at your house? And he said, yes. So I went over to his house, and I banged on the door, and nobody answered.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, must have. Now I'm going to be the straight man today. Is that it? Okay, fine. Just hold up a sign that says, straight man today, you. 12:30, he's still not answering, or he's not home, or he's hiding. I thought I could hear him in his wife's whisper, I think it's him outside. But I'm not sure about that. Anyway, so I get back in the car, and I drive home. I get home at 2 o'clock. I set the alarm for 4 o'clock.
Too cheap to get a hotel room.
Couldn't get a hotel room.
Oh, okay.
It's Derby night. It's the night before the Derby. And if I did get one, it's going to be like $2,000. Yeah, homeless shelter. Probably they were booked up at $500 a night, too. So anyway, I get in the car. I drive home. I get home, 2 o'clock, set the alarm for 4 o'clock, get up at 4 o'clock, get back in the car, drive back to Churchill Downs, get there at 6 o'clock. We start going around. Now, this is a really cool part because he's making all these juleps, and I get to sip a little. So, like, by 8 o'clock,
you're stoned.
I'm going, wow. Man, these juleps are unbelievable. They're worth every penny of $1,000. Every penny. There's a bargain at $1,000. So then I drive home, and I promise these people to give them a tour at 10 o'clock.
Oh, my God.
So I had another cup of coffee, and then I gave them the tour. We went to Wilshire's to eat, and they donated $1,000 to old friends. So that was my nice. That was my derby. Yeah. That was my little derby.
Where's Wilshire's now? Is that the place in Georgetown?
Scott County, yeah.
Okay, Georgetown. Yeah.
Nice place.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I understand. We haven't eaten there. But, it's right there next to the courthouse, isn't it? Really?
Yeah.
No.
No?
No. Where is it?
That's Galvin's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You, what's the,
it's off the bypass.
Off the bypass.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Well, that bypass is about 6 miles long.
You know? Well, it's right. I mean, yeah. All right, if you go to Old Friends and you head toward Georgetown, you get to the intersection.
Okay.
Okay, take a left.
Take a left.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Okay, toward Frankfurt.
I've never been there.
Yeah,
there
never been there.
There you go, see? Yeah.
Okay.
As if you were going back to Afton Farm.
Oh, yeah.
The first farm where Old Friends was ever at. So you head toward Afton Farm, and on the right, you'll see the golf course, and there you are.
Okay.
It's right at the golf course.
What's the old mansion that's right across?
Ward Hall.
Ward Hall, yeah.
Yeah.
Right across from it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
And you go into this subdivision.
What kind of a place is it? I mean, is it a fancy restaurant?
No.
Mid. Okay.
Yeah. It's like an Applebee's, only the food's better.
Okay. Is it privately owned or what?
I think so.
I don't know. I didn't do all this investigating. I just ate lunch and talked to these people. Oh, my God.
Holy mackerel.
How much detail do we want? Are they a sponsor or something? We're giving them more time
than
these other people.
That's
but they might be.
That's an idea.
They might be. No, I charge them for this.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, just for that, I'm going to take a commercial break.
There you go. We're going to talk about one of my favorite places.
First Defense over Judgment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of my favorite people over there is Garrett and his lovely wife, Rhonda. Lovely people. Well, First Defense, the sire of a graded stakes winner, a group stakes winner, plus two others that have placed in stakes in his first crop. Through the first 4 months of 2013, it sired 20 first crop winners, plus 10 others to place from 37 starters. And his first second crop 2-year-old to start ran second in her debut at Keeneland. And they're winning at Belmont and at Keeneland and at Saratoga and Aqueduct and the Fairgrounds and Delaware, in Great Britain, in Japan, wherever they're asked to run. Close Hatches has won the Grade 2 Gazelle at Aqueduct. Dun Dunnell won the Group 3 Acom Stakes, finished a close second in the Group 2 Champagne, and fourth in of 14 in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf as a 2-year-old. And in his first start this year, he's placed in Group 3 Stakes already. New Line was second in the Trippy Stakes at Belmont on April 26th. Smoking in the Boys' Room was second in the Turfway Preview Stakes in his first start in stakes. So First Defense is sired a graded stakes winner on dirt, a group stakes winner on grass, 4 stakes horses, and 30 of his 37 first crop starters have won a place. Now that's what you call a solid started stud. Grade 1 stakes winner First Defense is Bound Bridal Song. Out of Grade 1 stakes winner Honest Lady, a half-sister by Seattle Slough to top sire Empire Maker, stands at Judmont Farm for 7,500 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Let's see what I've got here. Supposed to have a Briss in here right about now. Can you find it down there, Mary Jane? If not, I'm going to plug Briss. You know, that's Bloodstock Research Information Services, and it's a great organization out there. Happy Broadband is one of the nicest guys you ever met in your life.
I haven't seen him for years. He's a great guy.
Yeah. He's got something to do with the Thoroughbred Club over there. I walked in there one day, and not that I'm a member, but I was invited for some reason. They didn't know who I was, I guess. And he was sitting there doing something for him. I don't know if he was a bookkeeper or what, but anyway. But his dad, Dick Broadband, founded that, Briss. And now, of course, Happy's been running it since inception, and now it's owned by Churchill Downs, and he's still running it. And I couldn't do this show without it, literally. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a wonderful outfit. I get my statistics from them, and you can go over there and get everything. They got their broodmare records out now, and I'm going to talk to Happy about maybe we can work out a little deal or something where I can get to that. But anyway, it's a great organization, and I love that the charts are free that you get off the from Briss, and they like the old fashioned charts that used to appear in the racing form, and I like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know just exactly what they look like. So go to brissnet.com and look it up. And test them out. And I tell you what, they've got so many things on there, I can't keep up with it. For both the breeder and the gambler, and you name it. So that's brissnet.com. Great people. Well, Eisenstein is a 5-time Grade 1 winner. He won Grade 1 stakes on dirt, turf, nart, and synthetic. He competed at the highest level against the best, which could be mustered against him. He was dead game, and he was sound. He recorded 9 triple-digit buyer speed figures, and he concluded his career with 16 consecutive starts in Grade 1 or Grade 2 races, winning 5 and placing in 7 others for earnings of nearly $3 million and the admiration of horsemen the world over. Eisenstein is one of a dozen Grade 1 winners, 4 of them in the USA, by Kentucky Derby winner and champion 3-year-old Spendabuck, from the famed Green Tree Sire line, going back to Tom Fool, through Buck Passer, and his first 2 dams were Grade 1 winners and Grade 1 producers. Eisenstein offers a pedigree free of raising natives, Seattle Slough, and Northern Dances within the first 4 generations. A superb individual. Your inspection is encouraged. Eisenstein stands for 7,500 live foal at Adena Springs, home also of Awesome Again, Ghost Zapper, Giacomo, Macho Uno, and Tiago. Inquiries to Eric Hamelback. Is Eric's number, 859-987-1798. And see the website at AdenaStallions.com. Wonder what happened to Bruce. All right, Doc, you've got all kinds of drawings over there. What does it look like?
Well, they're just scribblings. So
that's kind of like my handwriting.
He's got a cross on top of a box, and it's got R.A.P. Michael written on it. I'm a little concerned.
Ron Wallace came over, and he wanted to make a sculpture. How to go about making a sculpture, and it wound up being of his dog.
Well, Doc, why don't you just do for him and charge him a commission?
Well,
think ahead, Doc.
He doesn't have any money.
It's going to take longer for Doc to finish his sculpture of El Gran Señor than El Gran Señor's life, and he'll be well over 20-something years old.
Well, this drawing here is just the stand that you use to hold the clay. So it's called an armature.
Okay.
And so, anyway, he came over to do that because he has never started anything. So it's just a plan. I think I'll do an armature.
We'll start there.
Yeah. But we anyway, he was, you know, he lost. Chanticleer got sold.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't have any big farm or management right now. He's got one place, but he's in transition.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's got a great background.
Yeah.
Yeah, he won't be for long. He's a great guy.
Yeah, nice guy.
Yeah.
I know he was with Judd Martin, some big time farms.
Yeah, yeah. And but anyway, that was it. So that's my picture, and then had a horse that I was asked about who had vasculitis of his leg, and not very lame, but anyway, you know, we got to use the big words, so thrombophlebitis. So
believe it or not, I've heard that one.
Yeah, well, and
Richard Nixon had it.
Yeah, Nixon had that.
Yeah. Well, he, the ultrasound machines doing, now that you use all of these other things for scintigraphy and making images. Anyway, I was talking with Dan Hawkins in Florida, Florida. And he says, you know, we get so much technology, we don't know how to pick their leg up. And it's probably true. They got images here and...
No horsemen, huh?
Not really what he was saying, yeah.
Well, I tell them to rent a blacksmith.
Yeah. Well, anyway, when these horses get thrombophlebitis, or if you think about the jugular vein, just transfer that to the foot area or the ankle, and and you look at it with the ultrasound or scintigraphy to image it.
And, well, you're looking for blockage or something, or what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because what really is happening in the mild cases, the vessels get blocked, and a lot of times it just goes away, and they restore circulation pretty readily. But if they don't, you know, then you could say, well, you know, his foot's coming off. You know, so again, it's a big word, a lot of stuff, but it's very common, taking good care of them, knowing how to poultice them and walk them a little bit, get the circulation going, and most of them do fine. But if you get in trouble with one of those things, and I can remember one that came in from Maryland, an AP Indy colt.
Wow.
And on a hind leg, and he got off the van, and he had this cellulitis, inflammation under the skin, and his foot came off. Within a,
ooh, that's hard to think about.
About a half a day. This thing's been going on a long time. So. Anyway, we had to put him down. So.
And AP Indy, too.
Yeah.
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 Got it. Yeah, that's terrible. All right.
Okay.
All right, young man. Let me take a break. And you got in something else you want
sure,
to talk about?
Sure, of course.
Go ahead.
No, I'll wait till you're done. You can go for the commercials.
Okay.
We'll give some people something to look forward to.
All right. Oh, hell, we've got stuff here that we can talk about, both of us, after I get through with this. So, talking about one of my favorite horses, De Hare, grade one stakes winner, and he's proven his ability to decide graded stakes winners, and he's by Awesome Again. Another one of my favorite horses, the only winner of Breeders' Cup Classic to sire winners of the Breeders' Cup Classic. And of course, that would be the Hall of Famer, Go Zapper, who, like his sire, ranks among the nation's leaders on the sire list. De Hare is the sire of 9 winners from 11 starters. Among them, the multiple graded stakes winner, Gypsy Robin. She's earned $498,000. Acia went of a maiden special at Aqueduct in her second start and placed in the $100,000 Busanda Stakes, also at Aqueduct, and multiple stakes placed Castella. De Hare's most recent winner is Ajram, winner April 18th of a maiden special. In fact, all 9 of De Hare's winners have won non-claiming races. And his 2 non-winners that started, and maybe 1 start 8. So think of that. 11 starters, 9 winners, a multiple graded stakes winner, 3 stakes horses, with all 9 winners scoring in non-claiming races. De Hare stands at Shadwell Farm for $5,000 live foal. Inquiries to stand manager Kent Barnes, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. And that was Michael screwing up over there with his cell phone, and we're going on right now. Talk about my friend Ralph Quillen. Poor Ralph. He takes a beating on his commercials that he did.
We spend more time talking about his proposed brewery than we do his fabulous halters and everything else in the gift shop.
Big picture, 2 columns wide in the local paper down in Paris. There he is. They're giving him some kind of award again.
Wow.
Every time he turns around, he's getting his award for something he's done.
Unbelievable.
Down there. It, so far, it's not the quality of his beer because he has yet to produce any. So he's doing something else right down there. Well, he's running a hell of a tack shop, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, he's doing great.
It's a great tack shop. And as you well know, Michael, the halters that come out of there are the best.
Yeah, they last forever.
And let me tell you that if you're local and you walk in there and you get an automatic 10% discount, anything that isn't shipping out, and if you're from around here, you know, and you live around here and you're buying from him, you get a 10% discount.
So. And if you buy a lot of stuff, you can negotiate even a further discount.
Oh, Ralph, I didn't know about that.
I don't think Ralph knows about it either, but if you buy a lot, he'll knock a little bit more off, I think.
The thing you need to do is go to his website, which is quillin.com, Q-I-L-L-I-N, and just look at some of the things that they put out. And they got a great brochure here, by the way. But it's on Main Street, 1929 South Main Street, and I guess he's been in business about that long.
1929, I like it.
Well, maybe that might precede him a little bit, you know. But that was Clyde Van Dusen's year. And it's down in Paris, and you go into to Paris from the Lexington area, you go to the third stoplight and look on your left. Just go in there and say hello to Sandy and Debbie and Ralph if you can catch him there. He's out hobnobbing with a hoi polloi, I guess, down there so he can get his picture in the newspaper. But anyway, it's a great tack shop. Quillin.com. All right, Daily Race Informed Sunday editions just now. I picked up my copy this morning, and there it is right there in Michael's grubby little fist.
It's fabulous. The DRF reading supplement's fabulous.
Glennie Kane Oakford is our guest today.
Oh, great. She's fabulous.
She's got two articles in there today. One on the orb connections. You know, she'll really get into that and write about them. And another on established feed supplements that you can use to help your horse no positive result, drug facts or tests or anything.
That's a very good explanation. Let me explain to you. I actually read the article.
How could you have read it that quick? You've just been sitting.
I'm an educated person.
It doesn't show.
Yeah, I know. I try to keep it quiet, but sometimes I'm forced to admit it. No, what it is a really interesting list of these natural ingredients that.
Well, you just looked at the list. You didn't read the article. Go ahead.
I'm trying to explain to people why this is such a good article, and it's very important. And it's something I think Dr. Byers might want to comment on, too, because a lot of the supplements for these horses and the horse feed are listed with natural ingredients. And what Glennie's done is she's done an article on all these natural ingredients that can still have your horse come back positive for a drug test.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so that's why this is a very important article. Like foxglove comes up digitalis, and you got cinchona bark that comes back quinine, and you got the kola nut and coffee beans and other things that come back positive for caffeine. So you got to watch what's going on here, because you might not think you're giving your horse an illegal drug, and there you go.
Oh, okay. Well,
and it's all here in the DRF breeding supplement in Sunday's racing form.
I'm going to read
it's
it when
I. It's a fabulous thing, and you should read it.
Shut up a second. I'm going to. I'll just pick it up on Sunday morning, you know. Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And
if I don't steal it, you get a chance to read it sometime between now and Sunday.
Yeah, and I'm 8 to 5 not to be able to read it anyway. And there's some other articles in there, too, in the Sunday edition of the Racing Form, and it's on the newsstands as we speak. And Patrick Reed's writing about Malibu Moon, of course, aside of the first Derby winner I've picked since Aristides. Let's see who else is writing in it. John Sparkman is writing about the classic sires, and Steve Anderson's got a preview of the Barrett sale. So that's pretty good. So anyway, that's Daily Racing Form, and a pick up that Sunday edition. It's a great edition. I think this is Glennie coming here now.
Yeah, then she can explain it better than any of us.
Let me see where in the hell I am now. Okay, we can talk now.
No.
Seems this like is we good. Have been.
You know, Samantha Siegel, who owns Arson Squad, is retired to our farm. She donates money, and she comes and visits her horse all the time. And, of course, JMS Stables owns a lot of really nice racehorses. But we sent out a little thing the other day that said our weed eater broke, so she brought us a new weed eater that I'll be able to pick up on Monday. So that was nice. And this is really cool. There's a woman named Dr. Nicholson who's really a nice lady, and she's very smart, and she really likes old friends. And she came to our fundraiser, and she realized that our gator had broken down. And so on Tuesday, we're going to go out, and she's going to buy us a brand new Kubota.
Like Doc's?
I don't know. I'm going to go look at it and say, wow, this looks good.
You've been riding yours around, Doc?
I'm all over my farm with it.
Okay. You know, well, that's what I mean. I didn't want you to get out on
the internet. Trying to. Well, believe me, he's trying to. He's,
I'm going
to
get out.
He's trying to escape.
Sooner or later.
He's got plans.
Yeah. Well, I was afraid you got out on the interstate with it. It's
very handy and good functional.
Yeah. I love my Kubota tractor.
Yeah.
But the problem is, it's been so darn wet, you know, I haven't been able to mow. I've mowed a place once, and now you can't tell I've been out there.
There's mud on the tires. You'll be panicked.
No, but you don't want to mow when it's old.
Yeah, no.
Wet.
Tearing it up.
Yeah. I did yesterday morning, finally got able to mow the lawn again. It was starting to look like, I don't know what. You couldn't play croquet on it, that's for sure. Hell, you couldn't have played polo on it. I don't know what you could. when it gets up to your knees, you know, you got a problem.
Yeah.
I think that was, wasn't that Glennie that just walked in?
I don't know. I didn't get
I've never
look.
Met.
Oh, I'll introduce her when she comes.
I hope that's her husband. I haven't met him yet.
She's very nice, and she's a really good rider and has been for quite some time. She's very diligent.
I tell you
she's
what,
really
she's good. She's an excellent reporter.
Mm-hmm.
Because she knows exactly, I don't know how she finds out these things, but a lot of times I read her columns, you know, and it's there. And it won't be anywhere else.
Yeah, that's true. She's writing a really good, they're coming out with a new edition of the Old Friends DRF magazine. It's going to come out at the end of the month. Mm-hmm. And she wrote the main story in her, and she did a magnificent job.
That's great.
I should also mention, too, that a week from Monday, Calvin Burrell's coming to the farm so people can come visit him, get things signed.
He rode a nice race in the Derby, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
On Revolutionary.
And he's getting ready to go in the Hall of Fame. So this is our send-off for him to go up to Saratoga and go to the Hall of get the Hall of Fame induction.
Yeah.
That's really going to be cool.
Yeah.
It'll be in August.
I guess, you know, it's three Derby winners, and he's not many people have done that.
No.
And McCarron's in with three, so I guess it's all right with him to go in with three. Yeah,
he would have gotten in for a lot of reasons.
Probably. All right.
Okay, we get out of your hair.
Yeah. And if that's Glennie, tell him to come in.
Get out of his hair.
What? I don't have any.
Michael's hair.
I don't have any. That's what he's going to say. I'll take that line away from him. And I'll leave your.
Wait a minute. Do you need this one? I want this.
What do you want? You want Saturdays or Sundays?
You can have this.
Oh, thank you very much.
Hi.
Here's Glennie.
Yeah.
Not getting
your
way out of the room.
Well, we were saying nice things, Glennie.
Yeah,
hello.
We were saying nice things about you. We're glad you couldn't hear us.
This is a great gallery in here.
Well, we got hugs and kisses going on now, so sit down, Glennie.
Thank you.
We can get you on early.
I want you to know that
I'm doing real good. Let me make a commercial break here. Right. Is that your husband over there?
It is.
Well, good. Sit down, too. We'll talk to you.
Grab that chair.
Let me take a commercial break. Thanks, Doc. Thanks, Michael. I appreciate it. You guys coming in.
You're welcome.
He's going to show me something or Glennie something.
Well, this is Glennie's story in the magazine.
Oh, that's not the new magazine, is it?
No.
Oh, no. That's the one that I picked it up this morning. Yeah.
You're the star
where
of that
old
show.
Stars shine.
You're the star of that show, though. No.
Is this the brand new one?
No, it's the old one.
Oh, it's the old one.
But because you're old, you don't remember. So
shut up.
All right. Maybe the new one to you.
Maybe there's a spot for you at Old Friends.
Though. Yeah, well, let me get this commercial break out of the way. Jackie wants to be here when you're here, too.
Okay.
She just took a break. She's always leaving me hung out to dry here, you know. Well, Orb winning the Kentucky Derby is by Malibu Moon. His Kentucky Derby victory not only moved him to the lead of the current class three-year-olds, but his sire to the number two spot on the general sire list. Orb is not the first classic winner sired by Malibu Moon.
He said, two winners of the classic Grade 1 Coaching Club American Oaks and a winner of the Grade 1 Mother Goose. Add the fact that he's also sired an Eclipse Award-winning two-year-old colt, and you have a sire of remarkable versatility at the highest level. Malibu Moon stands at Spendthrift Farm. Watch for his yearlings at the major 2013 auctions. Also at Spendthrift is the graded stakes winner and track record breaker Temple City by Dynaformer out of a half-sister by Dancing to Malibu Moon. Temple City is eligible for Spendthrift's extremely popular Breed Secure program. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. For more information, contact Ken Wilkins, Des Dempster, or Mark Toothacker. Here's the number, 859-294-0030. See the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. Who's next here? Reborn or Lubricin, whichever. You use any of those?
I do not.
You don't?
No.
I take the, Jackie and I take the Reborn.
Do you?
No, it's the Lubricin. I better find out.
I ought to find out what it is you're taking.
Well, they make it for
humans.
It
might explain a lot of stuff.
You mean why? I stagger a little bit, but I walk.
I'm not making any judgments. I'm just saying it's good to know what you're putting in your body.
Well, I'd be in good company if I took Lubricin, and that's what it is, because Todd Pletcher takes it, and Tony Dutrow uses it for the horses also. So does Jared Hollendorfer and Mike Maker. So they all use it. And what it does, it helps lubricate the joints so you get around a little bit easier. And I, at my age, I need all the damn help I can get.
Well,
I'll tell you that. And, but it's a very good product. Absolutely. Seriously, they do make it for humans, and Jack and I both take it. Michael takes it, and he and his lovely bride just swear by it.
Oh, you know? Well, I might have to try it. I got bad knees. I look like a sore old racehorse when I get up in the morning, so. Might be a good thing to try.
Well, why? What have you got to lose? You know, you can buy it at KBC and Horse Sense. You live down in Versailles?
We live south of town, but we're still Lexington.
Oh, KBC sells it.
We are the late Stormcat's neighbors.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Right there,
so. Yeah. Well, that's neat. You're in good company.
Yeah. We were.
Yeah, you were.
That's right.
Did they bury him there on the farm?
They did bury him on the farm. And apparently there's a life-size bronze at the head of his grave now.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. The one that used to be outside the stallion barn, I didn't remember whether that was life-size or not. So I don't know if it was and they moved it or if they have a new one. I'm not sure which, but they did bury
him. Get a picture of it for the daily racing form.
Yeah, you need to do that. You're right.
There you go. Put it in that Sunday edition.
I tell you what, too, that was a sad thing. That hit me harder than I would have expected when he died.
Yeah, well, hell, he was 30 years old.
I know, and he had a great life, too.
Yeah.
But his career pretty much bridged my career.
Yeah. And, well, you're 30.
29
or something.
Yeah, you're going to have to ask a little bit.
Okay. Well, anyway, let me get back to this commercial. that happens there a lot. Now, Reborn, it's a whole concentrated natural bovine colostrum. Safe and it's easy to use as a dietary supplement for horses of all ages, but I'd use it with my foals because, you know, they're always running out of colostrum over at Haggard's and Rood and Riddle. So anything to help, you know. And it what it does, of course, it supports immune functions, and they're great products. And go to lubricin.com, lubricin.com, or reborn.com, reborne.com. Two great products you can't miss with either one of them. And that was about a five-minute commercial there.
That was my fault.
Yeah, it was. I'm going to send you a bill.
Okay. So, I didn't come here to make life easy on you.
All right.
Hi, how are you?
Well, Broken Fireside, 19 stakes winners, 27 stakes horses last year, and he's on schedule to do better than that this year with 6 stakes winners and 10 stakes horses through the first 4 months of the year. Horsemen have come to expect that from Broken Vow, and that's one reason why a two-year-old Broken Vow sold for $375,000 at Keeneland in April. Broken Vow has sired over 100 stakes horses, still going strong. To put some run in your racing stable, have a good look at the Broken Vow yearlings at the major sales this year. Stands over at Pin Oak Stud, 25,000 live foal. Also at Pin Oak are the Stallions, Cowboy Cal, and Sky Classic. Like Broken Vow, Sky Classic has sired more than 100 stakes horses, among them 59 stakes winners and 6 champions. Stands for 7,500 live foal. Now, the first foals by Cowboy Cal are 2, and they look and act like runners. In fact, one sold for $420,000 at the OBS March sale. Cowboy Cal won the Laurel Futurity at 2, then he really got rolling at 3 and 4, winning a placing in 12 stakes, 11 graded, 4 grade 1, earned over $1 million. Cowboy Cal is by Giant's Causeway, and his fee is $7,500 live full. Inquiries at Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens, and see the website at pinoakstud.com. I've got some notes here on you, Glennie.
Uh-oh. I knew I shouldn't have come.
No, they're all good. I've got you down here as, what's that guy? I can't read my own damn writing.
Welcome to my world, Ursula. I do that after interview.
Glennie writes for the Racing Form, and she's a fox hunter and a show jumper. You show jumper.
I don't.
You just came. You don't?
I fox hunt, but I haven't done show jumping.
I thought you said you were going to a show something
this
morning.
I was going to watch. We have some friends who are riding at Masterson this weekend, and we're going to root them on. I jump, but I haven't shown since I was a wee child.
Well, you used to.
Yeah, I used to. A long time ago.
Do you still fox hunt?
I do fox hunt, yeah. I love it.
Yeah,
That's my life.
Oh, gee whiz. And your husband's sitting right here.
Well, I met him through fox hunting, so it's all the same thing.
All right, now, I don't know your husband's first name. All I know is Glennie Keene of Oakford. What's your name? Come over here with this.
My name's Christopher.
Christopher, okay. Well, he's very shy. So
yeah, he's going to be killing me after all this.
You're just talking to a good old boy over here, you know. I mean, it's, you know. Don't worry about fouling up on this show because I set the standard. So, all right. Well, I'm really impressed with your Daily Racing Form Sunday editions.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you are.
Yeah.
That's
and
nice
I know
thing.
It's going to grow because you got good people.
Yeah, well, thank you. I think it will. I hope so. I hope we will get enough advertising support to really allow it to expand a lot, which would be tremendous. But we're having a lot of fun putting it out. Yeah.
Have you ever thought about merging the two, the magazine edition that you put out in the Sandy edition, the Saturday edition?
That would be above my pay grade, that sort of decision.
Well, tell them Earl Ursula that suggested it.
I will let them know that King Ursula has suggested that we take that tack, but I don't have anything to do with the production of it. So.
Oh.
But I can definitely pass that suggestion along.
Yeah, I would think, you know, just make one really nice edition, you know, that would expand it right away, you know. I don't know. I mean, you know.
You want to buy the Daily Racing Form? Maybe then you could run the whole thing.
I don't have enough money to bet on
it. I know.
I don't have enough money to bet on the Daily Racing. I used to work for the Racing Form.
I know. See, all the old rogues used to work for the Daily Racing Form, and some of us still do.
Yeah. I'll get out of here. You don't know. He's way ahead of your time. You didn't remember Mickey McGuire.
No. Didn't know him.
I love Mickey. He was a fine gentleman. Recovering alcoholic, hadn't had a drink in 40 years or something like that. But he used to tell some tales about going to Ellis Park. He was started out taking charts, you know, calling charts. And he says, hell, I was down to Ellis Park one summer and I still don't remember. You know? I wonder how accurate those charts were.
There was a good horse named after him. Am I remembering that correctly?
That's right. Preston Madden named that horse. It was he was a TV lark.
Yeah. Well, it would be, wouldn't it, with the Maddens, but in that era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That he bought that horse. He was by Son and Israel, wasn't he? Indian Hemp.
Oh, wow. I wouldn't have remembered that. You're going back a ways now.
Well, I can go back to Aristides if you want me to.
Not by personal experience.
That's my first Derby loser.
But you know, you talk about all the people who've come through the forum, and it's kind of an impressive list. And one of the things that struck me when I started there, because I started back in April of 1999, my first real assignment was covering the April sale for them at Keeneland.
Mm-hmm.
And to walk into that old press box before they revamped it, and I got the same seat that Logan Bailey had before me
Great
and Joe
guy.
Hirsch before Logan. And it was really cool to sit down there and know that all those form guys had covered the sale from that same seat.
Yeah.
And when they changed that press box, Julie Balog, who was then at Keeneland, asked me, you know, we're going to revamp the whole thing. Do you want a different seat? And I said, no, do not move me from that seat. That's the Daily Racing Form seat.
Yeah.
And it's got a great old history.
Well, you knew Logan pretty well.
Yeah. We're still very good friends.
One of the proudest things that I've ever can say about myself is that I hired Logan Bailey.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Well, that was maybe, other than marrying her, Yeah. The best thing you ever did in your life. But he.
You all don't know each other very well, do you?
No. Is my check in the mail, Jackie? It will be. But Logan is really amazing, and he still is. He still does some work for the forum, a little bit. No writing though, and I wish he still wrote for us, because I still, when I go back and research stories, I come across all the writers of the past who wrote for the forum, and obviously Logan is not that long ago.
No,
and it's really wonderful to go back and read his writing and to know this is my good friend who preceded me, and I just love it. It really is. The history of the place is tremendous.
Yeah. When we were there, when I hired Logan, and when I went to work out there, and I went to work for him the same day that Ted Bassett took over at Keeneland.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And
I won't tell you where I was then.
Oh, in utero, probably.
I think I was. That was 68, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was the year I was born.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
Signing right off.
I was a month old, I guess, if he took over in April. I can't remember which month it was he took over.
Yeah. Another great guy as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my heroes, you know, old Marine, you know, and he ran it like a Marine, too. You know,
yeah.
I mean, he got things done. But the office was... in the clubhouse out there at that time.
That's right.
You know, when you walk in, well, you knew her.
Yeah.
You walk down that long hallway, and we rented three stalls. Well, that was the rent for Daily Racing Form, was three stall rent. It was stall rent.
Isn't that fascinating? I didn't know that. That's great.
And then they moved them over to close to where the library, you know, by where the big stone barn is
the
over there.
The little house out there.
Yeah, on the right of which you face the recreation center.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be stud barn. In fact, I bred a mare or two over there. Who do we breed to over there, Jake? Hawkins Special.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's going back a while, too.
Yeah.
But isn't that great? I mean, it's just, it's such an interesting thing that it's been so entwined with Keeneland as well. And, of course, now Keeneland has the archives of the Daily Racing Form.
I know.
Which is just wonderful. I mean, what a resource. And I use it as often as I can.
Do you?
But the history is really intertwined.
Do you have to go down in that basement at the library there?
You do. They can bring things up for you. You know, if you can't get down the stairs or you just don't want to be down there, because it is, I mean, it's state of the art, but it is, you know, you're underground, and some people that might bother. But it's just amazing to walk down there and see. And also down in that basement are things like the original, I think they're glass negatives of the old, old, old photographs from the 1900s, late 1800s. I mean, there are so many treasures in that library. And for us to have all of that resource there is just wonderful. I love the library.
You know, some of those pictures down there, they will let you copy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because I've got a picture, a couple of them, of Man of War.
Oh, wow.
One of them. You see that up?
Yeah,
that's taken at Saratoga when it was a 3-year-old.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, and I've got it at home, too. And we've got another one that was taken, I guess he was a 3-year-old, Jackie, when we got that picture. And I'm not sure how old he was when the confirmation shot we've got with the two old guys holding him at home.
Yeah,
wonderful. Gorgeous picture.
Yeah. Some of these old pictures are just... worth my weight in gold, let's put it that way. But to be able to go down and look at them.
The show is being archived
at Keeneland.
At Keeneland.
Oh, good. Library. That's a great thing to do. I wish that you wouldn't archive my part of it, but that's all right.
I'm not.
I'll have to go down there with a magnet or whatever it will take to erase it. Be like the Nixon tapes.
You probably have company.
I would.
I've got to do the top of the hour, which is we run right past the top of that hour. There's, you know, we're kind of lax about here on following the schedule. They're tearing their hair out down the studio.
Yeah,
I'm
you
sure.
need a tougher bid on your guests.
We're coming to you, Mary Jane. All right. Well, Majestic Warrior is a sire of a classic winner in his first crop. The Grade 1 $1 million Kentucky Oaks was won by Princess of Sylmar. 3-year-old filly by Majestic Warrior, bred by Ed Stanko and trained by Todd Pletcher. Princess of Sylmar defeated a top quality field of 11, which included Beholder. Champion 2-year-old filly of 2012, winner in her last two starts of the Grade 1 San Anita Oaks and the Grade 1 Las Virginian Stakes. Grade 1 winner Dreaming of Julia, who went into the Oaks off a 21-length win in the Grade 2 Gulfstream Oaks, and undefeated Close Hatches, winner of the Grade 2 Gazelle. Winner earlier of the Bassanda Stakes and the Busher Stakes, both in New York.
Princess of Silmar is one of 5 stakes winners, 12 stakes horses from the first crop by Majestic Warrior. The nation's number one ranked sire of 2-year-olds last year with 30. Winner of the Grade 1 Hopeful Stakes is a 2-year-old Majestic Warrior by AP Indiana of Grade 1 winner and millionaire Dream Supreme by Seeking the Gold. Stands at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. To learn more about the Ashford Stallions, call the farm at 859-873-7088 and see the website at coolmore.com.
WLXT Lexington, ESPN Sports Radio 1300, Central Kentucky's only Toyota Express Maintenance Center.
Toyota Nicholasville, what price they'll cost.
Well, Badger Silver is a sire of Silvermax, winner of the 5 stakes, including graded stakes at Churchill, Keenan, and Colonial Down. Set new track record going a mile in 1:33.4. Badger Silver is also the sire of Silver Medallion, winner of 4 stakes, among them graded stakes at Gulfstream, Calder, and Golden Gate. Of King Kanji, a graded stakes winner at Calder, and placed in 4 of the stakes, including the Grade 1 Bluegrass. Of Fly Lexus Fly, a multiple Grade 1 stakes winner in South America, and 2nd in the Grade 2 Super Derby, and his only start in this country. To date, Badger Silver has had right at 10% black type horses from starters. I ain't put you in the winner's circle, and he can black type your mare. Badger Silver, a multiple graded stakes winner and Grade 1 placed earner of over $1 million, is one of some 90 stakes winners by Silver Deputy. And he stands at Mr. and Mrs. Braird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud for 7,500 live foal. See the website, airdriestud.com, and remember the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profits. I'm talking to Glennie Kane Oakford here at the Clocker Stand and Thoroughbred Center. And where are you from originally, Glennie?
I'm originally from Greenville, North Carolina.
Greenville, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Not South Carolina. That's where our luggage goes usually. But Greenville, North Carolina, which is a good bit smaller and nice.
Yeah, it's where your luggage goes.
Yeah, everybody always thinks, don't you mean South Carolina? But no, I'm from North Carolina.
What part of North Carolina now?
It's the eastern part. It's about an hour in from the coast. So it's flat and sandy, but you're not on the beach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huh. You don't want to be on the beach?
I would rather have been on the beach, but it wasn't my choice.
Okay.
So I'm not crazy about that area, to be honest. I love North Carolina, but I'm a mountain kind of person more.
Did your family have horses or something that got you interested?
No, it was me. It was all me. My parents had no knowledge of, no interest in horses. Neither did my sister. My grandfather, my father's father, whom I never met because he died when my father was a little boy, was a veterinarian and loved horses, was a very big horse person. And then my great-grandmother, on my mother's side, whom I also never met because she died before I was born, also loved horses. So we think maybe that's where I got it, was I was a throwback. That's right.
Kind of a
But my dad's father had, if I can say this, an interesting death. He was a research veterinarian. He ultimately went into research.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he researched was brucellosis, undulant fever in cattle. And he somehow accidentally scraped himself with a needle, and he died of brucellosis. And he was one of the last recorded deaths from brucellosis because they came out with either an antidote or a vaccine. I think a vaccine about 6 or 8 months later.
Good.
Well, yeah.
How old was he at the time?
I think he was 40.
Oh,
I want to say 40, 41. Wow. And it just kills me because I would have loved to have known him.
Yeah.
You know, we have pictures of him on horseback, and he used to judge horse shows and things. And I thought, gosh, I would really have loved to have known him. Yeah. So.
Did you get a horse to ride or something then?
My parents, ultimately, we lived kind of in town, and they bought a house out in the suburbs that had a little bit of land, and they took me to look at the house after they bought it before we moved, and little did I know, but there was a little two-stall barn in the back, and there was a Shetland pony, and that was my first pony. And I had ridden a lot at that point, but that was my very, very first pony, and we went everywhere together. I rode her bareback. Everywhere. Honeysuckle.
Honeysuckle.
It's a little bit embarrassing, isn't it? Honeysuckle. But she was mean, as little ponies can be. But they teach you to ride. And we went everywhere. I never used a saddle. And we just went all over the place together.
Yeah.
She was great. Ran off with me a few times.
Yeah, Shetlands are not the nicest ponies in the world.
No, but the thing is, you know, you get a Shetland when you're a kid, and you're basically made of rubber, and you don't have any fear.
Yeah.
And so it's great because you just learn so much from that. I mean, you really learn how to ride. And so I am delighted.
Well, obviously you progressed a little bit from Shetland to what?
Not very far, if you look at my current horse. But I had an off-track thoroughbred who was my hunt horse. And before I met my husband, he was the love of my life, and he's still one of my best friends. Mm. But he got hurt, and so he is now no longer hunting. And we then got, for Christopher, an Appaloosa, who is such an old character. We got him, he was about 17 or 18 when we bought him. His name is Joker. We got him from a guy in Tennessee, and that was a funny story because I called him and, you know, I said, well, I don't know, you know, he's 18, and I just want you to know that we're looking for a horse that can hunt. I don't mind one that has age, but he's going to have to be able to stay out for 4 or maybe 5 hours. You know, we do a little, mm-hmm. a lot of galloping and some jumping, and he listened to me, and then he said, well, I'll tell you why I retired him. He said, I do multi-day, multi-state trail rides, and we're usually out about 8-10 hours a day and for about 4 days. And I had him on a ride from Tennessee to Kentucky, and on the second day, he was just a little tiny bit tired. I was like, you know what? He's going to be fine with us. I was so embarrassed because here I thought, you know. But he's just been a wonderful horse, a great horse. And so when
– Does Chris ride him or you now?
Both of us. Both of us do. Yeah. He does jump. We haven't jumped him on the hunt field, but so he's only hilltopped. But Christopher hunts him, and I decided then, well, now when my hunt horse quit hunting, I thought, well, now I've got to get something else. And since Joker wasn't as fast as my thoroughbred, and we really loved the Western broke horses, you know, Joker was such a star, that I went looking for a horse off a ranch, and I found a little if he stands on his tiptoes, he's 15-1. He's a black and white paint. And I bought him, excuse me, from a guy named Jonathan Waugh out in Maize Lick, Kentucky. So we went to the big city to find him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's terrific. And he can jump the moon. I mean, he's amazing. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing about those horses that came off those ranches is that they are broke. I mean, they have seen flat everything, and they're not worried about cattle if you go through cattle on the hunt field. But he had also, in addition to working cattle, he had apparently been used at the rodeo to pick up loose bulls, and I figured nothing we threw at him was going to be anything like as scary as a loose bull in an arena.
Yes.
And he's good.
Well, that's okay. Now, you skipped from Shetland ponies to what you're riding now, and I hadn't got you out of North Carolina yet.
I'm fast moving now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, obviously. I'll ask Chris about that. But how did you get out of North Carolina? What do you tell? I mean, what is give me the process. Go back a little bit.
Well, in terms of my riding career, I started off riding hunt seat and then got recruited to ride saddle seat when I was about 10 and started showing the shaky tails, which I still love. The junior league horse show is one of my all-time favorite events. You can't keep me away from it. I showed saddlebreds until I graduated from high school, then went back to hunt seat because there's almost no college that you can keep riding saddle seat at.
Yeah, right.
So, there are a couple, but there aren't many. And, of course, I didn't know about Moorhead being in North Carolina.
Right.
Where'd you go?
I went to Princeton, and there was no saddle seat riding up at Princeton. So it was all hunt seat there. And so I showed in the intercollegiate horse show system with them. And it was great because they offered horseback riding and riding lessons as a physical education class.
Now, did they furnish a horse or did you take a horse?
No, I did not take a horse because it was just going to be expensive to do that. And I didn't know how much time I was going to have either. But we had a little tiny equestrian team, which was such a cool experience because a lot of the people there, you know, I sort of thought, well, I'm going to come in and there are going to be lots of McClay graduate type people, you know, people who rode metal classes. And in fact, there were a lot of people who had never ridden before and always wanted to. And because they could take it as a PE class, they could finally have the opportunity to do it. And they ended up showing in the walk trot sort of classes at our equestrian team, and it was a blast. It was really fun to watch people as, you know, young adults ride for the first time and love it and go to horse shows, which they never would have thought they could do.
Oh, that's great.
I just loved it.
Well, let me take a little break here, and then I'll get you out of Princeton.
All right.
Well, Algorithms is a young graded stakes winner by Bernardini. Fact is, he's an undefeated son of Bernardini. After winning his first start as a two-year-old at Belmont and his second start down at Gulfstream, he met Eclipse Award winner Hanson in a grade 3 Holy Bull, stakes going a mile, beat him by 5 lengths.
that concluded his racing career. That's a fact reminiscent of yet another highly promising runner that was retired to Cleveland Farm after a promising but brief career, and that would be, of course, the Great Dancing. Algorithms, in addition to being a son of Bernardini, who stands for a fee of $150,000, out of the graded stakes mare, Ava knows the code. She produced six stakes winners, four of them graded stakes winners. Fact is, his first four dams were all top-quality race mares and stakes producers, so it's a running family. Algorithm stands for 7,500 live foal, and this is first season at stud. Inquiries to Bernie Sam to Claiborne Farm, and check the website. That would be claibornefarm.com. Want to talk about my friend Hill Parker. You know Hill, don't you?
I have met Hill.
Yeah.
I don't know him very well, but he did used to hunt with us, and that's how I knew him.
Yeah, nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he used to ride steeplechasers.
You know? I did not know that, and yeah. You have just gone lengths up. I didn't think it was possible for you to hire him.
He was an A-level pony clubber. And
I thought you said you used to ride steeplechasers.
Oh, no. Hell no.
No, I knew Hill did.
Well, I may be dumb, but I'm not an idiot.
Miracles can happen. That's the greatest sport in the world, steeplechasing.
Oh, if
well,
you say
after
so.
Fox hunting. They're basically the same thing.
I'm not going to ride
one. I had heard of Hill before I ever met him because of his steeplechasing career. He was considered very, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's a good horse trainer, too. Yeah. He hauls one, and he's training a City Zip right now. And he was hauling it in. I stopped down here to see him, and he rides him himself, of course.
Yeah.
Best broke horses I've ever seen.
Yeah, I imagine but so.
But he was talking about City Zip, this particular horse, and said, it's a little bit screwy. He said, a little bit slow, too. For a City Zip, he says, maybe the first City Zip in history that wanted to go a distance of ground.
Oh, my goodness.
You know.
Well, tell him about that horse he had out here that.
Rudyard K. He won, was by Kipling, naturally.
Yeah.
Whoever to get the name that he trained out here. And he won some races with him. And, oh, hybrid. And he'd pop up at Thistle Downs or hither and yon, you know him. And, but he won. But anyway, belonged to his mother. And she still owned him. And now he's steeplechasing. And he won his first start. Going 2.25 miles in a maiden claiming, not claiming, maiden race. Where was it, Jackie? I don't know the name of this, but it was a pretty good purse.
Yeah.
Like a $15,000 purse or something.
That's
like that.
Not bad.
You know?
I mean, considering that you can't bet on most of them, and so they're having to get their purse money elsewhere.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, if people out there listening have not been to a steeplechase meet, they really ought to go. Mm-hmm. I would have to admit that I like it better than flat racing. I like flat racing, it does. And, you know, some people hate it because of that. They just say it's just too long. But I love it, and it's beautiful. And if you've jumped a horse before, you really, really appreciate what those guys are doing.
Well, getting back to Hill, this is a commercial we're talking about. He and his wife, Reagan, have a real estate agency. They're real estate people, you know, been in doing real estate. He'd been doing for about 12 years. I don't know if Regan's been doing that long, but they've got a lovely little girl.
Two
little girls?
Yeah.
My God. Time does fly, doesn't it? But, you know, first of all, he's a horseman, and if you're looking for a farm, let him know what you're looking for, and he'll have it. He's got a great website. It's lexhorsefarms.com. And I'll give you his phone number here in just a minute, but remember that lexhorsefarms.com. And they got great listings. They got farms for sale and fed and bourbon, Jesmond, Woodford, Scott, Clark. And he says all over as far as that goes. And they can help you find that perfect farm. And, you know, they're one place that caught my eye. I went to his website. They got 75-acre place down in its turnkey operation down in Bourbon County with a real nice home on it. And it's got a heck of a price on it. I'm going to find out where that is. I'm not going to buy it, but I want to go look at it and see what we can get for ours. And but I tell you what, if we have to sell ours, Hill's going to do it. So anyway, I want they're lovely people to do business with. And, you know, he's just a nice guy. You can trust him. So here's their phone number. It's 859-608-8039. And go back to that website. It's lexhorsefarms.com. And Sprightstown,
stands for a fee of $60,000, worth every penny of it. Already in 2012, he sired the winners of more than 3,700,000, ranked third on the North American sire list. Now, Spitestown was a sprinter, and so was his stakes-winning son, Country Day, who's standing his first season still for $5,000. Doing a full stands of nurses, Country Day won stakes at Oak Lawn, Fairgrounds, Presque Isle, placed in five other stakes, including the Grade 2, now Grade 1, Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. Highly versatile, he won stakes on dirt, grass, and artificial, earned over $500,000. Country Day is out of the graded stakes winner Hidden Assets by the top sire Mount Livermore. Hidden Assets produced three stakes winners and descends from the family of Aladar, Grand Slam, Codex, and a host of others. Country Day is standing at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm, home also of the Stallions Channel, Get Stormy Mutata, No Biz Like Showbiz, Taste of Paradise, Tis Deja Vu. Contact the farm at 859-252-3770. Be sure to ask about breeding incentives. See the website at crestwoodfarm.com. Little bump of music down there?
I'm going to do something.
Our bump of music got bumped. Okay. All right. Talking to Granny Kane Oakford, who just graduated from Princeton. And where'd you go?
Some time back.
Where'd you major in?
I majored in English and creative writing.
Okay.
Yeah, so that makes sense, doesn't it? That's what I went into.
Yeah, I majored in pitchfork.
Yeah, well, I did a little of that, too. Yeah, I definitely did some of that. Because
yeah.
I spent all my summers doing something that was racing related.
Yeah, where'd you go when you got out?
What'd you do in the summers?
What'd you do in the summer?
I don't know if y'all remember, the Belmont Park used to have a horse fair. Do you remember? I don't think they do it anymore.
No.
But I interned at Belmont Park for part of the summer, the first year that I was at Princeton. I believe it was that first year. I interned at the Blood Horse. I galloped horses for Elmer Hubeck.
Who was editor then when you Blood Horse?
It was Ed Bowen.
Ah.
Yeah.
One of my favorite people.
And that was the first time I ever met Ed was when I came down to intern there. And one summer I galloped horses for Elmer Hubeck, which really, now that takes a lot of people back. And almost to a person, when I told people at the racetrack that I was going to go work for Elmer Hubeck that summer, everybody just went, I hope you're ready to work. And he did. He worked us hard. He worked us really, really hard. He had a 45-stall training barn. And at the time I was there, now, summer in Ocala, you know, it's hot and it is humid. We started at 5 in the morning, and we had about 6 people, and that included the exercise riders. And we would ride them, and we would muck them out, and we'd ride the next set. So everybody was kind of doing everything. But again, I learned a lot, and it was great, and I loved it. And then I took a year abroad in Ireland and galloped horses kind of part-time for Leo O'Brien's brother, Michael, in Naas.
Okay.
And that was a blast. I could only do it 2 or 3 days a week because I didn't have a car, and so I had to take the bus out to Naas. And he would pick me up. It was really, he was doing me a big favor. I mean, you know, it wasn't helping him much, but he would come and pick me up at the same place where they dropped his newspaper off every morning. And he'd pick me up at the bus and take me, and I'd ride a few horses for him. And then in the afternoon, I'd come back to Dublin, which is where I was living. And it was just fantastic.
A year.
Uh-huh. Yeah, a year of that.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
So it was really, really good. And they ride them in Ireland. I mean,
oh yeah,
you learn to ride over there.
I bet you.
Was that a year abroad in college?
It was. Yeah.
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 Okay.
So,
all right.
So that was fun.
Yeah. Then you came back.
And then I came back, and I don't remember what I did the last summer.
The lost summer.
I might have gotten my years mixed up. I think I might have done the Blood Horse thing 1 year and the Naira thing another year. I can't quite remember.
Yeah.
But
well, that's you've been around and done a lot, that, you know.
Yeah, I have. I think one of the things about being in turf journalism, a lot of people in it have not done any hands-on horse work. And, you know, I can understand that. Some people get into it because they like the gambling, or they just like the stories or the history.
Like the game.
Right. They like the game.
Men especially.
Yeah. And I think often that's true of a lot of the male writers. And some of them are sports writers for other things who just develop a love of the racing end.
Mm-hmm.
But they've never ridden a horse and don't particularly have an interest in that. But I think sometimes people forget that there are quite a few of us in the writing side and the reporting side who do have hands-on horse experience, have actually galloped race horses, have done some of this.
That's great.
And and it does help you to know that. I don't think it necessarily makes you a better reporter, but sometimes it's nice when your interviews understand that you do know what a fetlock is and you know the difference between a fetlock and a chiffney.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and you need to.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Well, you got to Kentucky sooner or later.
I did. When I graduated, it was terrible. I mean, I graduated in 1990, and you remember the bust was in full effect after mm-hmm. the 80s, and nobody was hiring. And I was heartbroken because this is what I had geared everything toward, and it hadn't occurred to me that there might not even be a job. And so for 6 months, I just lived at home in North Carolina and did a little bit of freelancing. I wrote for the Chronicle of the Horse, and I wrote, I think I might have done
they
a piece for Spur.
That?
They do. Yeah. They okay. do. It's mm-hmm. it's really good. I love it. And then I did some work for Thoroughbred Times, and ultimately Thoroughbred Times hired me. And so that's how I came down to Kentucky, and
okay.
I've been here pretty much ever since.
Yeah. So. That was Mark Simon.
That was Mark Simon. It was Mark who hired me, and now, of course, he's at the Forum.
Yeah, and now he's hitting up your Sunday edition at the race.
That's right.
That's great.
Yeah, it's kind of everything comes full circle, as so many things do in racing.
I worked at the Bullet Horse at one time, you know.
Did you? You've been everywhere.
Well, I've done it all, none of it very well. Joe Estes was was the editor.
A legend.
Yeah, and then Joe left, and Ken Hollinsworth became editor.
Another legend. Yeah, he was great. He was a great guy.
Yeah, I liked him.
I didn't know Estes, but I did know Ken.
Joe was wonderful. Mm-hmm. One of the nicest persons you ever met. I was there when he was getting into developing the computer systems, you know, the average earnings index and that, which I still look at all the time and use. And he converted me over into believing that, in broodmares, the racing class is more important than anything else.
Yeah.
That's what he was, you know.
Right.
So I think he was probably right.
Yeah, I guess.
So well, statistically, he was right.
Statistically, I think he was right. I think what's interesting now, of course, is we have all these genetic profiles that can be done that couldn't be done then. That's going to be revolutionary, I think. When we start being able to go down to the gene level and really look at things.
When you boil it down to the facts and figures and you've got the top 5% of the race mares are producing about 30% of the stakes winners.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like playing poker.
Yeah.
You know, you might have a great hand and still lose. But, you know, that's the way it is, you know.
Yeah.
Well, how long are you going to keep on? Go ahead.
Did you know Peggy?
Do you know my sister, Peg Simpson?
I think I did. Yes, she was at the Blood Horse, wasn't she?
50 years.
She worked there for 50 years.
I do remember Peg. I do remember Peg.
She was.
Wow, I didn't know that was your sister.
Yeah, well, she didn't claim me either. But she was.
Well, I can understand that, but she was very nice.
Yeah, Peg went there. In fact, she was went to work at the Blood Horse when she was in college.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
wow, what
and
a long career.
She was
career.
A journalism major. And at that time, the Blood Horse was located on the cop corner of Short Street and what is now Martin Luther King. Building's still there.
Isn't that something?
And they were on the third floor. My little twingy thingy coming out here.
Yeah.
Today. Yeah. I started to think I was going blind there for a minute. My glass. I have to put these on to keep my glasses from sliding off my nose. You're jacking.
Oh, poor old you. Now,
nose.
Yeah, she worked for the Blood Horse for 50 years. And retired, finally. Passed away about 5 years ago.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that she's gone because she was really nice. I do remember.
She used to do all the foreign stuff, you know.
That's when we learned shake, not chic.
And I bet that was her rule, wasn't it?
Yes.
Shake, not chic. Yeah. Is that right, Jackie? I didn't know.
Yes.
That. Still a sheep to me. Okay. All right. Well, Glennie, I want to thank you for coming in.
Well, thank
and
you for inviting me.
Well, it's been
thank
fun talking
much.
To you. And your silent husband over here, Chris, it's nice to meet you.
He can't get a word in edgewise, can he?
Yeah. What do you do, Chris, as fox hunt?
What do I do?
Well, tell me.
He works for AAA. He works for Jerry Miller over at AAA.
Jerry.
Oh,
yeah.
Jackie went to school with Jerry Miller.
Yeah, I'm afraid you might have some tales, Jackie. Maybe we ought to cut to some music now.
We don't play music on this show.
No, Jerry is a great friend of mine and a good friend of ours, really.
Oh, okay.
And, has been for years. I used to ride as a groom for him.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I've got to pay my dues. It's due this month.
But Triple A's, yeah, no, he's looking at me. Now he wants me to write a check.
Yeah, you better. I mean, it's a great deal. We use it, obviously, and it pays for itself.
We have used it many times down through the years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does pay for itself.
Yeah, it has. Well, you know, we've had, haven't changed tires for me a couple of times. And I mean, five or six times they've had to tow us down through the years. So
we've had that. I had a battery that got changed when was that? Last year, last fall. So
boy, yeah. I'll bet when he calls.
All our cars. Yeah, we're going to call you now, Chris. All our cars are just so old now, you know, because Jack and I are too tight to go out and buy a new one.
Well, all our cars are old because we have four dogs and three horses, and that's why our cars are old.
Yeah, we just had to buy a new tractor, though, damn it. Anyway, Glennie, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
We do appreciate it. It's been fun.
It's always fun talking to you.
Yeah, and I enjoy what you write. And as I've told, we were talking about you before we got on the air, I'd find out a lot of stuff reading that I didn't know was going on, but reading your columns, you know.
Well, thank you. We have one that'll be out this weekend that'll have the Derby winning breeders, Stuart Janney and Denny Phipps, in there. And that was interesting. I had a great conversation with them.
We talked about that. And already
good.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh, ask her about the saving the animals.
The saving animals.
Yeah, she gets on Facebook.
I think a lot of my Facebook followers because anything that comes to me that there's a stray, there's something missing, there's an animal in a shelter that needs adopting, there's a canter racehorse that needs a home, whatever, I share it. I absolutely do share it. And as I've explained to the people, it may annoy you, but you just never know. If you share, you may find somebody who just happens to be looking at that moment, and that's how we got one of our dogs. I'm a big believer in that. We got to find them homes. We're big on recycling animals.
Yeah, we've got a bunch of. Well, we just got a dog from the Cynthiana Dog Pound last week, wasn't it, Jackie?
And not to mention that old stallion we got.
Yeah, we got a 28-year-old stud out there that's turned out.
Oh, my goodness. That's great.
He's a rescue. Yeah. He was Acceler Fund called us, and they'd found this old horse down in Tennessee, and he'd been confined in a stall for 7 years.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And I couldn't stand that. So we brought him up. Well, he's the son of Secretariat. He's 28 years old.
No
oldest
kidding.
Living stallion.
They say he's the last living.
What's his name?
What the hell
is
his name?
I don't know what his name
is. We bought a halter for him, put it on him. I can't remember his name. I call him Buster. You know how that goes. But
well, that's great.
He's a young 28. Yeah. He really is. And kind of a pain in the ass, but other than that, he's...
Well, I'll tell you, my thoroughbred is like that. He's a very young 19.
Yeah.
And they can be divas sometimes, but they are just amazing horses. They really are.
Yeah, we've got four other old geldings out there. Well, one mare that Jackie used to fox hunt, and then three others. Two of them. Three others that... one was a rescue from Down River Downs. It was an old class horse that was sent into the killers. We got him. He was by Elgijan. And then two that we raced. One of them was a crafty prospector.
Oh, wow.
That I bought for $1.
Not bad.
When he was a yearling.
Wow.
Because he was so crooked, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And he fox hunted.
Really? So he can't have been unsound.
He won us a julep cup at Keeneland.
Good Lord.
Yes.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Glenn Westmoreland had him.
Yeah, Glenn Westmoreland had him in Canada. And Glenn, of course, he didn't have to jump too much then up there, you know. But he said he could never get to the bottom of him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, these old horses have such great stories behind them, and they're wonderful to be around, and you just never know what you might get with them. Like you say there, I'm sure everybody looked at him and thought, no way would I take a risk on him, and you end up with a julep cup. That's tremendous, and a good hunter as well.
Yeah, he's
retired. Yeah. But
well, my old fellow, his claim to fame is that he is by private terms and so is sort of tangentially related to Ruffian. And what was funny about that was when he got injured, when he was recuperating, they were putting together the horses to appear in that miniseries about Ruffian, and they tried to get me to sell him, even though he was injured, to play Ruffian because he looks exactly like her. I mean, it's almost scary how similar they look.
Wow.
They have exactly the same markings.
Is he by review? No, you said
no.
He's
by private terms. And he looks strikingly like her. But he wasn't going to be sound enough to be galloped in time for the filming. And so they then said, well, let us use him for close-up headshots. And I said, well, you know, I'll talk to him about it. And I talked to the wrangler, and I said to him, the one thing is, this horse cannot leave my possession. I mean, if y'all take him, he's got to come back to me, and I'll probably go down there. And they said, we have to buy him for insurance reasons. They have to be ours. And I said, no deal.
Yeah.
Well, good
I
for mean, you.
I just wouldn't do it. He's not leaving my hands.
Yeah.
Ever.
Ever.
He's got a personality and a half.
Yeah, I wish we could take more, but, you know,
we
just got a little place. So.
Me too. We don't even have any place, and we still have three, so I hate to think what I would do if we owned any property.
Where do you keep them?
We keep them out kind of in the hunt country on Grimes Mill Road at a friend of ours' place.
Oh, okay.
So we're just boarders, basically, but we love it.
Yeah, ours are just freeloaders.
We do have one, though. My little paint horse, my black and white horse, whose name is Moo. Moo is at Champagne Run. And loves it there, because we put him in training there when we were going to be out of town for a while, and he's doing great.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right.
Well, thank you.
We'll let you go this time.
All right. We're headed to the horse show.
Headed to the horse show.
That's right. Never live without the horses.
There you go.
Fair.
All right. Well, first defense is, see, where in the heck am I here? Am I that far behind? Boy, I am. First defense is the sire of a graded stakes winner, a group stakes winner, plus two others which have placed in stakes in his first crop. Through the first 4 months of 2013, he has sired 20 first crop winners plus 10 others to place from 37 starters. And his first second crop two-year-old to start was second in her debut out here at Keeneland the other day. And they are winning where it counts, at Belmont, at Keeneland, at Saratoga, at Aqueduct, the Fairgrounds, Delaware. He's having Great Britain, in Japan, wherever they're asked to run. Close Hatches has won the Grade 2 Gazelle at Aqueduct. Don Donnell, the Group 3 Acom Stakes, finished close second in the Group 2 Champagne. Fourth in the 14 in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf as a two-year-old in his first start. This year, he placed in Group 3 Stakes. New Line was second in the Trippy Stakes at Belmont toward the end of April. Smoking in the Boys' Room was second in the Turfway Preview Stakes in his first start in a stakes race. So first defense has sired a graded stakes winner on dirt, a group stakes winner on grass, four stakes horses, and 30 of his 37 first crop starters have won a place. Now that's what you call a solid starter step. Grade 1 stakes winner first defense, Bond Bridal Song, out of Grade 1 stakes winner Honest Lady, a half-sister by Seattle Flew to the Top Star Empire Maker, and he stands at Judd Mont. For 7,500 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or in Fry, and see the website at judmont.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally Van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Van's has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, Wise Dan, last year's Horse of the Year, won the Grade 1 Woodford Reserve Turf Classic last Saturday, boosting his earnings to over $4 million. Wise Dan was bred by Morton Fink and raised on products from McCauley Brothers at Patchen Wilkes Farm. Also at Churchill, the Grade 2 American Turf Stakes went to Noble Toon, and Noble Toon was bred and raised on McCauley products at Dell Ridge Farm. Congratulations to the folks over at Patchen Wilkes and Dell Ridge. 8 of the 19 starters in the Kentucky Derby were raised on McCauley products, and they gave it a good run, finishing second, third, and fourth. Did a good run from your horses you raised? Give Mike Warren or David Longmire a call at McCauley's and talk to them about the products there and the services that come free with every bag of feed you purchase. McCauley's has long been the leader in equine nutrition. In fact, theirs was the first feed mill in the nation, and until recently, the only feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse. The phone number at McCauley's is 859-873-3333. You're always welcome to stop by the office. It's at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse.
All righty. I think I've got time here to do a little bit of history. I wanted to talk about, what the hell was I going to talk about? Let's see. They're running to Peter Pan today, and they're running to the Decathlon today. I'm going to talk a little bit about Peter Pan because I love the history of him. Full 1904. He was by Commando out of Cinderella by Hermit. Of course, he was bred over at Castleton Stud by James R. Keene. His sire, Commando, was by Domino, of course. He was a champion at 2 and 3 in 1900-1901. Won 7 of his 9 starts, 2 seconds, won the Belmont, broke down in the Lawrence realization. You know, he sired only 27 foals. 10 of them were stakes winners and 3 of them were champions. That would be unbeaten Colin, Celt or Kelt, however you want to say it, and Peter Pan. Peter Pan, while rated with the best of his crop at 2 and 3, he was not as dominant as either Commando or Celt, or as for that matter, his grandsire Domino. Peter Pan won 4 of his 8 starts as a 2-year-old, won his first 2 starts, including the Swift Stakes. In his 3rd start, he opened up a 6-length lead and then failed to stay, got beat by a horse, finished 2nd. I think the horse name was Double Event. Ran 5th in the Brighton Junior Stakes, and then he won the Flash at Saratoga, just won that by head, ran 2nd in the Saratoga Special. Then he won the Hopeful, and Keene started 3 in the Futurity. Peter Pan, Pope Joan, and Ballot, and the winner was Electioneer, and Pope Joan was 2nd, and Peter Pan ran 5th in that. And Electioneer was by the Keene Stallion Voter, and Mr. Keene didn't like that. So they said, for as far as it could be determined, he never again allowed an outside mare to be bred at one of his studs over at Castleton. And Peter Pan was 2nd in his first 2 starts as a 3-year-old, the Weathers and the Carlton. He then won the Belmont Stakes, beating his stablemate, Superman, who was also a Commando. And he won the Brooklyn Handicap. And then he won the 10 furlong Brooklyn, as I said, beaten in the title stakes, and they were run just 4 days apart. Carried 129 pounds and was 2nd in the Coney Island Jockey Club Stakes. 5 days later, he won a stakes race going 11 furlongs. Next came the Brighton Handicap against older horses. And he beat a good field at the 14 coming from behind. That he won by nose, and that was probably his best race of his career. Keene had a dispersal in 1913, and Jimmy Rowe bought him. Jimmy Rowe, the trainer, had just gone to work for H.P. Whitney, and he bought him Peter Pan for Mr. Whitney. And he was a good stud, sired 48 stakes winners, never ranked above 5th on the sire list, but you know, he was a good sire. His best runner, I guess, was the champion 2-year-old filly Prudery. And then Trister was a champion 2-year-old, and he sired Vexatious, who was also a champion 3-year-old. 2 of his sons, though, really made impact as sires. Pennant, ranked among the leading sires 6 times, and was the sire of the Great Equipoise. And Black Tony, of course, ranked among the leading sires 10 times, led the 2-year-old sire list twice. And he sired, let's see, Bimelec and Balladeer, sired Black Servant, sired Miss Jemima, who was a champion 2-year-old filly of her year, very small little black filly. I remember extremely well when she was owned by Dixiana. I was 9 years old, 8 or 9 years old. First stall I ever cleaned out in my life was Miss Jemima's. She was retired at the time, and my dad says, she's yours to take care of. And so I did. Black Gold, the Derby winner, Black Helen, Black Maria. So he was one heck of a stud horse, a good one. Well, where am I? I'm going to do something for my good friends over at Shadwell about one of my favorite horses, De Hare. a grade one stakes winner, and of course he's already proven his ability to sire graded stakes winners, and he's by awesome again. The only winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic to sire a winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic. And that would be, of course, the Hall of Famer Ghost Zapper, who, like his sire, ranks among the nation's leaders on the sire list. De Hare is a sire of 9 winners from 11 starters, among them the triple-rated stakes winner Gypsy Robin. She's earned $498,000. Acia, a winner of a maiden special Aqueduct in her second start, and then she placed in the Busanda Stakes, $100,000 pot, also at Aqueduct, and a multiple stakes placed Castilla. De Hare's most recent winner is Ajram. On April 18th, she won a maiden special. In fact, all 9 of De Hare's winners have won 9 claiming races, and his 2 non-winners, his 2 starters that have not won, have just made 1 start each. Think of that. 11 starters, 9 winners, a multiple graded stakes winners, 3 stakes horses, and all 9 winners scoring in non-claiming races. De Hare. Shadwell Farm, $5,000 live full. Inquiries to stallion manager Ken Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. I want to talk about my good friend Dr. Bill Bernard and Dr. Wesley Sutton over at Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine over on the corner of Ironworks and Georgetown Road. It's a great facility over there. People, they specialize in outpatient care. You call them up and tell them what you want, what you want done, and they set up an appointment. You come in, they take care of it, and send you home. And the best thing about it, they'll tell you exactly what it's going to cost you, and there are no hidden charges, and by golly, that's what the bill is going to be. You can count on it. So the cost of those services are up front, and they're fair, extremely reasonable, and this is a state-of-the-art facility. They've got a new bone scan where they can do scintigraphy out there over there, and it's state of the art. They got the only standing MRI machine in Lexington, foot and ankle up to the knee, and they can do it standing up. So it's, you know, it's an elective surgery only, and it's outpatient medicine, and the real people, I mean, the nice people to do business with. It's a website. Here it is. It's LexingtonEquine.com. LexingtonEquine.com. And that's my friend Dr. Bill Bernard, who, of course, spent many years with Rudin Riddle before he opened this place up, and Dr. Wesley Sutton, who's an orthopedic surgeon and sports medicine specialist. So give them a call over there and go to their website at LexingtonEquine.com. Well, breeders have, what are we doing here, Ressi? We're going to do Windstar?
Yeah.
All right. Breeders have taken a liking to Homie Back. He covered over 200 mares in his first 2 seasons at stud. First foals are yearlings. Buyers are going to like them, too. Homie Back was a runner with a superb pedigree. Won 2 of his 3 starts as a 2-year-old. That was at Keenan and at Arlington Park. And in his first start at 3, he won the Grade 2 Lanes End Stakes, and he followed that with a game 2nd in the Grade 1 Bluegrass. Later that summer, he was 2nd to Champion Summerbird in the historic Grade 1 Traverse. Quality Road ran 3rd that day. And he went up to Canada and won the Grade 3 Dominion Day Handicap, and he earned over $872,000. Now, Homie Back is by 3-time champion Sire Giant's Causeway. He's an emerging sire of sires, and his dam is Restraint. She's a graded stakes producer by the top sire Unbridled Song. Out of the $470,000 stakes winner Vowel, a champion 3-year-old and a champion sprinter up in Canada. It's a family which has given us the great Tom Fool, champion Aunt Jenny, and a host of others. Homie Back, $6,000, payable when a foal stands and nurses over at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy, Chance Jim, or Leanna Packard, and see the website at WindstarFarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally Van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, all righty. Well, I'm talking to Steve Moody, who compiles the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet for Bloodstock Research Information Services. And he gave us the winner of the Derby last week, and so he's going to give us the winner of the featured Churchill Downs today, which is the Unbridled Sydney Stakes. Steve, congratulations for picking the Derby winner.
Yeah, it was always nice when you can find the Derby winner, and obviously this year it was he had to be happy for the connections all the way around. The Jannies, the Phipps, Shug, Claiborne, and everybody involved. So a lot of people, I think Orb was a pretty popular winner. And we're rooting for him in a week and see what he can do in Baltimore. Keep things going.
I hope he does. All right. Well, who do you like up at Churchill today, Steve?
Well, they've got it drew a field of 11, but they've got several scratches. This race is staying on the turf. Just check the changes, and they're off the turf today except for this race. But they did scratch the 3, Kissing the Forest, the 4, who was my original pick here, Sweet Cassiopeia. And the 11 pretty much mine. So leaves the field of 8 fillies and mares going 5 furlongs on the turf. Still looks like Ursel a ton of early speed in this race, and I think the winner is going to be one that can stay out of the speed duel. It really set up for the favorite, but since she's out. That leaves me with the 10 horse in here, Ursel, Bounding By. This is a veteran mare that, has her share of wins. And although she does have good speed, she has shown that she can win, can run well without leading every step. And I think that's what she's going to have to do today. Just kind of stalk. The leaders on the outside, and then hopefully run by them in the late final yard. So we're going to give a slight edge to the 10 Bounding By. The 9 horse Palazzo Babe, one of the speedsters, Rosina Probnik has the mount here for Michelle Lovell. I think that this one's going to be out there winging it along with Good Deed, and so I do think probably she can hang on for maybe and grab part of it, but I think she may get compromised a little bit if they hook up early on like I expect. So we're gonna go 10-9, and then 10-9-1, Holiday Kitten, the one horse, back on the turf today. That's the surface she prefers. She's done her best running on the turf. Gonna take her third. So 10-9-1 in the Unbridled Sydney.
All right, Steve, we appreciate it. And, running short of time here, so I'm gonna have to hurry.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much. It's been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, and you can get that off brisnet.com or pretty near everywhere they sell a daily racing form, including probably a Churchill. Is that right, Steve?
Yes.
Yeah, very right. Good. You can pick one up right there. Okay, Steve, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Well, Orb, one of the Kentucky Derbies by Malibu Moon. His Kentucky Derby victory was not only moved him to the head of the current class of 3-year-olds, but his sire to the number 2 spot on the general sire list. Orb's not the first classic winner sired by Malibu Moon. He's sired 2 winners of the classic Grade 1 Coaching Club American Oaks and a winner of the classic Grade 1 Mother Goose. Add the fact that he's also sired an Eclipse Award-winning 2-year-old colt, and you have a sire of remarkable versatility at the highest level. Malibu Moon stands at Spendthrift Farm. Watch for his yearlings at the 2013 auctions. Also at Spendthrift, the graded stakes winner and track record breaker, Temple City by Dinah Farmer, out of a half-sister by Danzig to Malibu Moon. Temple City is eligible for Spendthrift's extremely popular Breed Secure program. You have everything to gain, nothing to lose. For more information, get in touch with Ken Wilkins or Des Nempsey or Mark Toothacker, 294-0030, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. Righty. Well, breeders of Kentucky breds have won stakes last weekend, and of course the Kentucky Derby winner Orb, in addition to be by Malibu Moon, stands over at Spendthrift, was bred by Stuart S. Janney and the Phipps Stable, and of course raised at Claven Farm. In fact, the 1, 2, 3 finishers in the Kentucky Derby were all foaled in Kentucky. Wise Dan, winner of the Woodford Reserve Turf Classic, Grade 1, was bred by Morton Fink and also trained in Kentucky. The Grade 2 Humana Distaff at Churchill went to Albie K, bred by James C. Spence. Moving right along, the Stephanie's Kitten, winner of the Churchill Distaff Turf Mile Stakes, was bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. And Ken and Sarah Ramsey enjoyed Ken's talk over at the Farm Managers Club on Wednesday. The Edgewood Stakes at Churchill, Kittens Duncan, was also bred by the Ramseys. And, boy, I tell you, they're raising more runners out there than you can shake a stick at. Let's see. The Gatto Dream Big Stakes at Atlantic City. Winner was Perfect Officer. It was bred by Justice Farm. That's Greg and Steve Justice. And in Ireland, the Martin Maloney Stakes, there's an Irish name for you, wasn't it? Went to Ines Meehan and was bred by Castle Lions Farm. All right, Jackie, let her rip.
All right, Toba.
2013 seminars, the next seminars, breeding clinic here in Lexington, May 31st.
That's Toba.
Toba, what did I say?
You didn't. You went on the air.
Oh. Oops, 2013 Seminars and Clinics by Toba. Breeding Clinic, May 31st through June the 2nd here in Lexington. Register, go to toba.org. Masterson Equestrian Trust is having their annual Sayre School Horse Show today, May 11th. Sally Vans. Sally Vans fixes
diesels.
Diesels. They work on ours. They work on your own van, too. And also, they shipped Orb to Belmont. Also, Revolutionary and a couple more, too. They do a lot of that good stuff. They're the best.
Go first class.
Go first class.
Sally Vans.
May 19th, a week from tomorrow, the day after Preakness, is the High Hope Steeplechase. No, nothing over fences this year because the ground's too bad. But they will have... a bunch of other races. They have an arts and crafts fair, lurcher races, terrier races, parade of the Woodford Hounds, miniature horses, stick horse races. You name it, they're going to have it, and that's a week from tomorrow. It's $25 to get in per car. If you want in the members' pavilion or preferred tailgating, just give them a call. Call 967-9444, or you can call the horse park and they will give it to you, the correct phone number. Never Say Die, a Kentucky colt, the Epsom Derby, and the rise of the modern thoroughbred industry. Jamie Nicholson wrote it. We both read it. It's excellent. May the 14th.
It is good. Yeah, I would highly recommend it.
Wait a minute. Today is the 11th?
Yeah, that's the 14th. Yeah, it's in Louisville.
Oh, okay. And today is the 11th. On the 12th, he's going to be at the Bourbon County Library at 6 p.m. just for signing.
No, wait a minute, Jackie. That's not right.
Oh, okay.
On 5/14, he's going to be at the Filson Historic Society down in Louisville. And in June, which is what I'm interested in, on the 12th at 6 p.m., he's going to have a book signing at the Bourbon County Library.
Oh, okay. And then May 14th at the some or other historical society. Okay. Well, it's in Louisville, so we don't care. I'm not driving. I'll see him in Bourbon County. Horse Park today, Kentucky Spring Hunter Jumper Show today, tomorrow, next week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, is the Kentucky Spring 200 Jumper Show. The 19th is the High Hope Steeplechase and the wrap-up of that Spring Hunter Jumper Show. That's all.
All right. Well, we've had 12 winners from the Kentucky from Training Center, the Thoroughbred Training Center, since last week's show. And the winners of those races, the trainers, are Paul Garcia, Eduardo Caramurri, Randy Preston, Paul Garcia, Eduardo Caramurri again, Brian Michael, Raquel Albright, Scooter Hughes, Sherman Mitchell, Tim Shue, Jesse Caudle, and Paul Garcia again. That's it for Horse Tales. Thank you, Mary Jane. Thank you, Ressie. And we'll talk to you next week.